This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Dustin Yard and you're tuned into On The Ball, a weekly sports podcast. This week we are joined by Pranav Nair and Prakash Sachdev, who will help us do a quick recap of all the events of Game Week 7 in the English Premier League, and we look forward to the big fixtures that Game Week 8 has to offer. Hi and welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, good to be here.
Hi, Dustin.
So, the main headline fixture of this weekend is Liverpool versus Leicester City. We have Brendan Rodgers, a former Liverpool manager, returning with Leicester, who are former champions, let's not forget. So, what can we expect from this big game, guys?
As for Liverpool, I guess after 7 wins on the trot and players working out really hard for those 7 wins. In fact, the last win that came against Sheffield, it was like a really difficult one.
And it seems a bit labored, right? That yeah. Liverpool are really pushing hard. They have to work hard for the results now.
Exactly. And they were really lucky to get that one goal which slipped through the legs of Sheffield's goalkeeper, or else we would have definitely lost the points. And then not to forget their crazy match in the Champions League against Salzburg, where they were at one point of time 3 goals up, and somehow Salzburg managed to get 3 goals back and to just manage their first win in the Champions League.
I think it was back to Salah the savior days, where he came back to rescue Liverpool.
Yeah, it was good to see in that Champions League match the trio of Salah, Firmino and Sadio Mane all getting on the score sheets. But they seem to be getting a bit fatigued very early in the season, and that's because of the style of play that Jurgen Klopp has. He pushes his players to the limit. But opponents are also tough, and Brendan Rodgers should know a thing or two about a few of the players. But Liverpool will play to their home advantage. It's at Anfield, so it should not be a problem.
Well, speaking about the opponents, Pranav, while Liverpool labored to a 1-0 victory at Southampton, Leicester cruised, isn't it, in their previous game? Tell us something about that.
So, Leicester won 5-0 against Newcastle, and it's not an honest reflection of what had happened, because you have to consider the fact that Newcastle were a man down. They lost Isaac Hayden towards the end of the first half, and up until that point Leicester were leading, and they were not troubled by Newcastle, but they were just leading by a goal 2-0. So I think Leicester could be the one to stop that Liverpool juggernaut right now, because I think Liverpool have peaked very, very early this season, and right now the form seems to be on the downfall. So I think Leicester would be the one, considering the fact that they have a very strong counter attack. So you don't know, once like a ball played over the top by Madison or Tillemans, and Vardy, you can bank on him to score in the
Vardy position. Does have a habit of scoring against Liverpool, doesn't he?
Yes, I just remember that goal from 2 seasons back.
Is it the volley?
Yes, the volley that he directly caught on his feet and he converted from just outside the box. It's a goal that has sticked with me for a long time. So yeah, Vardy is a player that the Liverpool defenders should be careful about. And now he has got in form.
Yeah.
Like he had a slow start to the season, but now he's back amongst the goals. So for fantasy pick, if there's a player that people playing the fantasy game can pick, it's Vardy. I will bank on Vardy.
It looks like Vardy has been given a new lease of life under Brendan Rodgers after having a relatively quiet year last season, isn't it?
I think that is more also because of the form of Yuri Tillemans and James Maddison. Okay. The balls that they are delivering, the assists and the help that he's getting. And from the wings too, Harvey Barnes, Albrighton.
What do we say about Brendan Rodgers here though? He was sacked by Liverpool, if I remember rightly, and Jurgen Klopp has done a great job since replacing him. Does Brendan Rodgers come to Anfield with a point to prove this time?
Yes, he has a point to prove. He was sacked and then he moved to Scotland and he rebuilt his reputation as a manager who invests a lot in the players. And now, he will be welcome. The Liverpool crowd are always welcoming to their former managers. And yes, he will have a point or two to prove. But then again, considering why Liverpool sacked Brendan Rodgers, because Liverpool did not have that attacking identity under Rodgers. Yes, he had a definite style of play, but the attacking form of play that Liverpool used to play during their heydays before 90s, that was not shown under Rodgers.
Yeah. Speaking about that attacking style of play, Jurgen Klopp has brought this high-pressing, high-tempo game to Liverpool, but Prakar already pointed out that it's not something that we can see them sustain all through the year. What do you guys think Liverpool need to do if they want to maintain this title charge and this flawless start to the season?
I think they need to rest their players because they have the likes of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Shaqiri, they are really good players.
Even Origi sits on the bench, starts on the bench.
So, like, for certain games, you can let your front three rest and give them a run. See, till at least like 70-80 minutes, you can give them a run. If it doesn't work out, then maybe you can bring them one or two of them on. But every match after match, you can't play them and expect them to press for the whole 90 minutes and then come again in the next match and then perform at the top level.
Well, lastly, a word on the league table positions. Liverpool obviously number one, and Leicester find themselves in number three, just behind Man City and above Arsenal. Are we sensing another title push from Leicester with Brendan Rodgers at the helm?
I think that's too...
That was once in a lifetime kind of an achievement. And that was a time when other big teams, so-called the big teams of Premier League, were struggling. They were rebuilding. There were problems with Liverpool. Man City was going through a transition phase. Arsenal and Tottenham. Tottenham, let's say, they slipped. They were giving Leicester in that season a tough fight, but they slipped. But yeah, expecting Leicester to go all the way, to push all the way, and let's just not discount Manchester City. They will always be there and they will make teams realize where they actually are and how big is the gap between a Manchester City and a Leicester.
Well, lastly, quick prediction, guys. How do you all see this game playing out?
I think it's 2-1 to Leicester this time.
Oh, you're sensing the first big upset to Liverpool's campaign.
Yeah, I think they've peak too early and this is the time that Leicester will capitalize.
What does the Liverpool fan have to say about this?
I will say a 2-0. I will still hope playing at Anfield have worked for the Reds and they would still manage a win out of this match. But yeah, very soon, and then they have some really tough fixtures. Then they play Manchester United and then they also face Tottenham. So it's tough time ahead for...
So a defeat here could just derail Liverpool's flawless start to the season, and regardless of anything, it's going to be an amazing, exciting game to watch out for, right?
Yeah, that's our headline match for this game week 8.
Well guys, moving on to the next big game of Saturday, it's Tottenham who are visiting Brighton and Hove Albion. So Prakar, what can we expect from this game?
Well, talking about Tottenham, the past week they had a great result in their favour. They won 2-1 against Southampton. And considering the fact that their vital player Serge Aurier, he was sent off just in the 31st minute and then pulling off a 2-1 victory, talks a lot about the team that is recovering after like few results that did not go their way. But then again, in Champions League, they were smashed. Smashed is the only word to describe a 7-2 loss against Bayern Munich. So that...
And it was at home, I guess.
Yes. So that will take some time for Spurs to recover from. But time is now running out for Mauricio Pochettino. He should start producing results. They are already out of League Cup and that they have lost against, I guess, a 4th tier or a 5th tier team.
I think it was a League One side, Colchester.
League One side, and then an embarrassing defeat against Bayern. So, Tottenham, but considering they have a Brighton, they have a chance. And for what I understand, they haven't lost against Brighton for quite some time now. So, it should help. The match should work in Tottenham's favour.
It's been 4 games between the two teams and 3 wins for Tottenham with just 1 draw, with Brighton just taking 1 point from that. But Brighton are right now 16th in the table, you know, just 6 points from 7 matches, and it doesn't look like they might pose a big problem for Tottenham. But I guess there's always some potential there. Also, their manager is still experimenting with new tactics. He's going with a back 3 this season, which should offer some solidity. And they have 2 big signings from the summer. Neil Maupay is 22 years old, who was the 3rd highest scorer in the championship last season behind Pukki and Abraham. He hasn't gotten firing till now, just got 1 goal. So maybe there is some potential there, you know, where they could get a goal, but it's difficult to see them overturn Tottenham at this stage. Also, last time one of the big 4 lost a game, they came back really strong. If you remember, it was City who lost to Norwich and then they came back to thrash Watford 8-0. Do we see any of this happening when Tottenham visit Brighton?
I don't think any of these happening because I see a lack of cohesion in the Tottenham squad. I don't know what, but something seems off. And you could see that in the previous 2 matches. Against Southampton, they held on. But first of all, what Sir Aurier did was really stupid. He scissor tackled the person to get the first yellow and then he pulled him back in the 31st minute.
While already on a yellow card.
Yeah. You don't see them as a group of players. You see them as 11 individuals trying to play. That is something I'm not seen from Tottenham earlier.
I guess the player that who was supposed to take Tottenham to finally to a Premier League charge, Dele Alli, he's now off colours. Now people don't even talk about Dele Alli.
His form has just paled off after those seasons he
has. Yes, and Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen, he always being in and around in the top players, always assisting Harry Kane. He is not assisting anymore, and there's like this. I totally agree with Pranav that there's the cohesion that makes a good solid unit of a team that other teams are fearful of. That spark is missing from Tottenham as of now, and Pochettino has to work something around.
So some interesting stats for this game. Brighton and Hove Albion are winless in their last 8 home league games. And guess what? Tottenham outdo them because they are winless in their last 9 Premier League away games. So either way, we might see a duck broken here or it could be a draw. What are your predictions, guys?
I predict I see a loss for Tottenham in this match. I see Brighton winning 2-1.
I think considering the fact that they had a midweek game, their players could be fatigued and maybe Brighton could make hay while the sun shines. I think it's 1-0 to Brighton.
Well, I think Tottenham might just scrape through, and mostly it's because Harry Kane just has a habit of finding the back of the net. So I'm guessing a 2-1 victory to Tottenham, but we'll wait and see how that plays out. Well, moving on to Sunday, Arsenal, Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United are all in action. Let's start with Manchester City, who are hosting Wolves. What can we expect from that game?
So from Man City's side, I think there's still a big weakness at their back. You can see that. Fernandinho, yes, a good CDM, a good player, but is he a good centre-back? Maybe he's a Mustafi, or I would like to say a Socrates maybe, but is he a Van Dijk? I don't think so. And Otamendi, I don't think Otamendi should even be in their squad. So I think there's a big weakness that the Wolves can exploit over here. And going forward, their attack is flawless. You can't match that. I don't think any team can match that. Wolves should just hope that the front three have a off day.
Like they did against Norwich, is it?
Yeah. That is the best hope for Wolves.
Well, interestingly, Wolves are a team who are getting back to winning ways. After failing to win any of their first 6 games, now they are unbeaten in their last 4. And they've just won back-to-back games. They first beat Watford over the weekend, and now they had a narrow victory in the Europa League. So it might turn out to be an interesting fixture, but I'm not really sure whether Wolves have enough to upset the mighty Manchester City. What do you think?
I think, Jimenez has been off form this season. Yeah. Maybe this is the match where he turns on. Jimenez, Moutinho, and one special mention is Traore. When he runs down that right flank, it's really scary for even the top defenders. So I think there's a chance that they could make a result in there, but it's highly unlikely.
What about Kevin De Bruyne? I think he missed the Champions League game midweek with a groin injury. Will he feature for this?
So Pep hasn't yet confirmed, but he said that it's a small injury. It shouldn't take that long. I don't think they'll take a risk against Wolves, especially. I think they'll rest him. So, I don't think you should pick De Bruyne in your Fantasy Premier League this match.
Considering what has been the pattern with Manchester City in past 3-4 matches, they have been rotating the squad a lot. Their starting level is very difficult to predict.
But they also have that depth in
depth in their squad, and they rested Aguero for their last Premier League match. Now, from what I understand, this is giving me a sense that after winning back-to-back Premier League titles, Guardiola is now aiming for the ultimate glory that he was brought in Manchester City. They won Champions League. And what we have seen, City does go through the group stages. And it's in the eliminators that they lose. So Pep wants to keep his players fresh so that as and when March and April comes, the key players in form of De Bruyne or Sergio Aguero and Raheem Sterling
are available,
they are not injured. And this brings me to a point what we discussed earlier in the podcast about Liverpool. I see Liverpool because there's not much of a rotation in Liverpool's squad. Their front three are the same, their midfield is also the same, their defenders are the same almost all the time, at least in Premier League. So I see even in the Premier League, this can make a difference. That right now, Liverpool are ahead of City, but as and when the critical stages come December, January, time come, and so Liverpool might just run out of the gas and City players are fresh, and that might lead to a third title on a trot and a Champions League finally for City.
Don't you think both the managers would happily exchange the trophies they won last season? Like Klopp would be, I would gladly take the Premier League title if Guardiola would take the Champions League trophy from him.
Absolutely. This was the exact thought that came to me when Liverpool lifted the Champions League trophy in Madrid last season. Like, it hit me that Liverpool's all-time obsession has been Premier League. That's their holy grail. And whereas the holy grail for Manchester City is that Champions League trophy. So yeah, they would happily, they can sit down, have a friendly chat, and they can work things around, and they can do. And ultimately, it's going to be two-horse race, but yeah, City players will be very fresh.
Well, the other big game that's kicking off at the same time is Arsenal hosting Bournemouth at the Emirates. Well, Pranav, what can we expect from Arsenal at this one?
I don't know. I think we shouldn't expect anything from Arsenal at this point. The last match against United, I don't know what Emery was thinking. It was a defensive side. I think he was playing a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
It was not even a 4-2-3-1.
Three holding midfielders in form of Torreira, Guendouzi and Shaka.
And that too against a depleted Manchester United side. And depleted is a very small word for what they are right now. This is a Manchester United that even a bottom place side would go and hope to beat.
But they did have Pogba and Rashford returning to the starting lineup for that game, which wasn't expected.
But what has Rashford done in this season? Mm. He's struggling. Okay, Pogba, I do understand. But there's nothing in that squad that that signals that you should be defensive.
Mm.
I think Emery needs to sort this out in his head right now. Mm. What he has to do and what he doesn't have to do. And the issue of Ozil also. He's paying him 350,000 per week.
And he's just not in the squad on any.
Not even on the bench.
Yeah.
You could at least make him sit on the bench for the amount of money you're paying. You should make him do at least some effort. If he's being casual, just make him do some sort of work.
But they did have a positive result over the weekend, right?
But that was when the younger players were playing.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that will be the case when we face Bournemouth.
Hmm.
And one person I'd like to mention is Mustafi.
Hmm.
He's been decent. That is something that's not expected of him. He's been really decent in the Europa League games. And he seems very calm on the ball. Hmm. I don't know why. Maybe this is what Emery is trying to do with Ozil too.
Well, it's 6-1 to Arsenal in this fixture when you count the head-to-head. What can they expect from Bournemouth, Prakar? Will they be able to trouble Arsenal considering the difficulties they've had this season?
Bournemouth are a good side under Eddie Howe. They are doing well. It is kind of decent place to be in at 8 currently. So the frailties that Arsenal have in defense, Bournemouth can score a goal or two.
Mm.
But I again see Aubameyang as a savior for Arsenal. He did that against Manchester United, and then he did again in a match previously before United also. So Bournemouth pose a bit of a challenge for Arsenal, but then Arsenal, I guess, will manage a win in this.
Let me throw a selection scenario at you. Last time Bukayo Saka performed well in the Europa League, and we saw Emery gift him with a Premier League start the next weekend. This time Gabriel Martini, you know, stood up and raised his hand with 2 goals and an assist. Do we see him featuring against Bournemouth?
But for that you'll have to drop Aubameyang. And do you want to drop Aubameyang, the person who's saving you through every match? And I think what he could do and what he has suggested is he could play him in place of Saka. But which again would be unfair to Saka because he didn't feature in the Europa League game. So you'd not give him a chance to prove that if he's not.
And Saka has been performing well so far.
So I think maybe at 70 or 80 minutes, if Arsenal have a 1 or 2-0 lead, you could expect Martinelli to come on and get the goal.
Well, what are the predictions for this game then, guys?
But before we get into predictions, any update on Lacazette's injury?
Lacazette,
I think they said that he'll be back by October, but I think he should be back after the international break.
Because Lacazette himself is a goal scorer, so Aubameyang feels that much secure in the team that if he's having an off day, he has a backup in Lacazette, and the goals can come from Lacazette as well. So yeah, for what I understand, if Lacazette recovers quickly and comes back into the playing 11, That will make Arsenal even a better side.
I guess the Arsenal manager is waiting for the international break because he'll have a really big squad to pick from. Then Tierney is showing signs of being back to full fitness. Bellerin is on the road to recovery. Holding has played 290-minute games now. So I guess we'll see the entire squad, or more or less the entire squad, after the international break.
And you forgot the newly transformed Scott and Mustafi
might just feature in the center of your defense there. So what prediction, guys, for this game?
I think it's 4-0 to Arsenal.
4-0, wow. I see a 2-0 victory for the Gunners.
And we have Southampton, who are hosting Chelsea.
So for Southampton, last match they faced Tottenham and they played 60 minutes against 10 men and they still couldn't get the victory. Which I think is a really bad sign. And considering the fact that they were equal at a point, that too Tottenham gifted them the goal. Lloris tried to play around the press and he got caught. So after that, they lost 2-1. That's a really bad result for them. And yet again, this match too, their goalkeeper had a sort of a bad moment. I don't know if there was a deflection, but from the replays that I saw, I didn't see any deflection. So the ball came straight at him and he kind of ducked away from the ball.
Okay.
Which seems really odd for a goalkeeper. The odd thing for a goalkeeper to do. So Angus Gunn needs to pull up his socks so that if Southampton want to win again.
What can we expect from Chelsea in this fixture?
Now, firstly, there was a big question mark. When will that first victory for Frank Lampard at Stamford Bridge Cup? And that came in the past week against Brighton. So that's a monkey off his back. And now with that win, Chelsea might be even more rejuvenated. As we have seen, it's a very fresh look Chelsea and very attacking Chelsea that we are seeing under Frank Lampard. So we can see goals from the likes of Tammy Abraham, who did not score in the previous match, but he has been amongst goals. So,
and he's also earned an England call-up, I guess, to the senior side based on his performances so far.
Yes,
and Mason Mount and
Fikayo Tomori.
Fikayo Tomori too.
And these two players have also been in the have been amongst the goals. So we can expect Chelsea to put up a good show.
So can we say Frank Lampard has done a good job so far with the squad that he has at his disposal?
I think with the squad that he has at his disposal, it is a good job, but I think as soon as the transfer ban ends, the first thing he'll do is get a good centre back. And after that, their team can compete for, I think, in the top 3. They'll be in the top 3 after that.
He's getting goals from Tammy Abraham, but I would want Chelsea to get a good striker. They haven't had a good deals in the strikers in past transfers.
They signed Olivier Giroud from Arsenal.
That is really sad.
They signed Alvaro Morata, but that did not work particularly in Chelsea's favour, and now he's off to Atletico Madrid. The moment the ban is lifted, I see Chelsea spending like how they have always spending heavily on a good striker that can give. Because Tammy Abraham is still not a finished product, he's a work in progress. So they would want a striker, good striker.
But too. I do think Lampard has this tendency to stick with youngsters from what he has shown so far. And over the weekend, he also did mention how Giroud and Batshuayi are pushing Abraham to perform at his level's best. Also, we've not mentioned Pulisic is still in the squad and he's still going through an adjustment period. And I think they spent on 50 million for him. So once he starts firing, they would just have another dimension to their game.
But coming back to the point that Prakhar made, getting a new striker. But what that will do is, I think what it did to De Bruyne and Salah when they were in Chelsea. So, if you buy a new player in his place, his development will be hindered. And what will happen is then, maybe they'll start dropping him, then his confidence levels will drop. And then, after a while, he'll be like, oh, I was scoring these many goals, now I'm not scoring in a single goal, let me find another club. Then he'll go to another club, then he'll come back to hot Chelsea. So I don't think they want to go down that path again.
Let's come back to the immediate future. What predictions do we have from this game though?
I see a win for Chelsea. The scoreline could be like a 2-0 victory.
3-1 for Chelsea.
Well, I think Chelsea could just win this by a 4-0 or a 4-1 margin based on their performances so far. But we'll see. And the last big game of the weekend is Newcastle hosting Manchester United. what do we expect from Manchester at this fixture?
So Steve Bruce, first of all, Steve Bruce needs to get a victory now. I know how he will get there, but I think maybe he can start Andy Carroll for once.
Is he fit though?
Yeah, he is. He was on the bench for the last match. So I think he could start Andy Carroll along with Joe Linton and play Almiron on the wings rather than trying to fit him behind Joe Linton. Because going forward, this, like, I think they lack some sort of creativity. And against either a struggling Manchester United, this is the best time to go there, to go and get goals. And they should not just not rely on their defense, because since United strikers are struggling, why not just get goals and see if they can match you?
And Newcastle did beat Tottenham away earlier in the season, but their form just seems to have paled off after that. Although Manchester United seem to be a little toothless in attack now, despite the fact that they have a Rashford and a Pogba in that side. Where will we see the goals coming from, do you think, in this fixture?
I think one person who could deliver is James.
Daniel James.
So, he's been on the rise and he's had a quiet 2 weeks, I'd say. So, maybe he could step up this game. And also Pereira. Pereira played the bits of attacking splashes that he showed against Arsenal were really good.
Looks really lively there.
Yeah, so I think he could also be a potential goal scorer for United.
What do we see happening in this game?
I see a loss for United in this match. United go on and win the match, then their goalkeeper should have a good... De Gea should stop the shots from which will come from Newcastle's side, or else I see a loss because they are travelling. Solskjaer's away record has been very poor. So he will rely on United's main player, and that's De Gea. But De Gea's form in itself is very dicey. Some days he has been doing good and some days he has been doing bad. So I predict a 2-1 victory for Newcastle.
I think it's a 1-1 draw.
Even I think it might just end in a 1-1 draw, and it might just be scrappy goals that we see going in.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of On The Ball. For all you fans out there, if you have any queries that you would have like to ask any of the panel members here, you can send us a mail at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and other updates, stay tuned to Money Control. Thanks for listening.